I don't want to use too technical of a mental health term here, but during the pandemic, a whole lot of us went what could only be described as cuckoo pants. We turned bonkers. We went ape. We wore bananas. We became absolute blinking nutcases. And then slowly, much more slowly than I at least ever expected, the shutdown, the lockdown, the period of home cocooning began to lift. And then you could go places without masks. Things appeared to be getting back to normal. But I don't think we were normal. I think we were forever changed. We weren't the same after that. I think something about the pandemic got us all, and again, sorry to use medical jargon here, got us all doinked up. And we were left to make sense of all that doinking up. Perhaps that's what made you turn to this podcast. It's Depression Mode. I'm John Moe. I'm glad you're here. Jane Marie decided, after enduring a rough patch with her life and mental health around the time of the pandemic, to try a life coach. Jane is the creator and host of the podcast The Dream, now in its third season. The first two seasons of that show looked at multi-level marketing and the wellness industry. Those topics are still in play in the third season, but this season has a lot to do with life coaches, how to find one, how they actually overlap with multi-level marketing, and how the life coach industry works. She ends up finding and hiring one of her own. So I wanted to talk to her about all that. Jane Marie, welcome to Depression Mode.
Thank you. Hi.
How are you doing today?
This very day, I'm doing great.
Excellent.
And it's really fun to say that. It's nice. I'm enjoying it while it lasts.
Okay. Has it been bracketed by some days that weren't as great?
Always. I mean, that's just life for me anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, I have to appreciate the good days, which is today.
Okay.
And I'm hoping it lasts for a while. Yeah.
Excellent. I hope so, too. I listened to The Dream. Excellent, excellent show. Congratulations on that. What led you to look for a life coach?
So I've had a therapist forever. I've had my same therapist for about 10 years, and I love her. I adore her. I think that during the pandemic, you know, not being in person was probably... was difficult, definitely, and changed the dynamic a little bit. But I still see her every single week. But during the pandemic, we had to do it by phone, and it was all remote. And then during the pandemic, a bunch of crap happened that, like, if it weren't a pandemic, would probably still be difficult. But it just felt like a time when things were piling on, and I was losing my resolve. And so coming out of that and starting, you know, to think about themes in this next season, I just wanted to have a little extra help. And to be perfectly transparent, I had a budget for making the show that would afford either travel or hiring correspondents or those sorts of things. And I diverted some of the budget to this life coach because we don't take freebies in this world. So it was a luxury, actually, but I really wanted someone to help me in a really hands-on way to get out of bed, essentially. Not by coming over and dragging me out of bed, but I
that's a different kind of coach. Yeah.
Yeah. The stuff I work on in therapy is much broader and also deeply personal. And this was, I just wanted something really functional. I wanted someone to say, if you move your body in this particular way this many times a week and prioritize sleep in this particular way and eat this way, you will feel at least a little bit better. And here's how you're going to do it. And so that's what she did.
So the stuff that you were dealing with, was it, I mean, how much of it was the pandemic and how much of it was depression or anxiety or things, disorders that you had already been dealing with for a long time?
Well, I've been a lifelong depressive. I've talked about this elsewhere, but I had a traumatic brain injury as a kid, which gives you, like, I don't know, like a 75% chance of having chronic depression. So it started like when I was little, and I have always gone to therapy, and I have always, except for when I was pregnant, I've always taken medication, which now, just a caveat for pregnant people out there, this was 11 years ago, and the thinking has really changed in that short of time, where you don't have to go off of all your meds. So talk to your doctor. But when I was pregnant, they were saying, stop taking everything. So that was tough. But I've always used antidepressants. I have always gone to therapy. And so the pandemic was my depressive episodes, which I've only had like three, knock on wood, like major depressive episodes, but they're usually triggered by some sort of trauma. And I think that the pandemic, that just underlying every single day, made things that may not have been traumatic, were that not there, made them more traumatic, if that makes sense. So like my uncle died at the very beginning of the pandemic, and it wasn't unexpected in that he'd had HIV and AIDS off and on, you know, for 40 years or so, for almost my whole life. So it was something we talked very openly about. And so it eventually happened. But I think because the pandemic was going on and like no one in my family could come help me, like clean his house out, those sorts of things, there were just a number of things like that. My daughter's father moved across the country. There were just like a stacking up of stuff that, had the world been quote unquote normal, I think it wouldn't have had such an, each one wouldn't have had such an impact. But I was already at a deficit, if that makes sense.
What did the impact feel like?
Like, I keep saying this phrase, but like a very steady chipping away at my resolve, at my reserves for like tolerating stress. I think depressives will understand what I'm saying here.
You've come to the right show.
Yeah. But you know, when, it just felt like a piling on. It felt like every day something would hit me and I'd just be like, can I fucking catch a break, please? I am trying so hard here. And in retrospect, when I'm not depressed and I'm feeling better, I go, yes, they were difficult things, but they're just going to keep happening. It's just life. You know when you have like an extra $500 and then you get two flat tires? Like the universe just hands you a broken window, you know, when you have, when you're like a little bit flush. It felt like that every day. It felt like that every day. Like the second I would feel like my head was above water, someone would dunk me. And it,
yeah,
that's where I was.
Are you making progress in the therapy, or is it a matter of just maintaining and kind of managing in a status quo sort of way?
Oh, no, I'm making tons of progress in therapy.
Good.
So for me, my therapy changes a lot because my situation changes a lot. Like my, you know, what I have to do as a parent, as a business owner, I have projects come in that, you know, are stressful, like writing a book. I had to write a book during the pandemic too, by the way, which is like, what? And homeschool and run this company and make podcasts and et cetera. But she's really, really helpful with helping me keep perspective about my life and what I really want, and she doesn't let me do anything, but me not letting myself go off the rails. Like, I sometimes make decisions in my personal life that are not big picture thinking, with friends and lovers and all of that. And I need to be more thoughtful about that stuff as I get older, I think. And as I'm a mom with a, you know, someone entering that part of her life, like my daughter's 10, she's going to start having romances and best friends and all of those things that get really complicated around that age. And so the knowledge that I'm gaining around that is very, very useful and helpful. And then, you know, we also talk about like just my patterns, you know, my little dad that lives in my head.
The little dad?
Yeah. Like when you go like, oh, that's not me. That's my dad talking. Like, that's not actually
sure. That dad.
Me.
Yes. Okay.
That dad. Like I'm doing something weird right now. Oh, that's not me. It's my dad. That's very helpful to be reminded that my dad's there's a little dad on my shoulder.
Your little head
dad. I don't
dad.
Have to. Yeah, yeah. I don't have to listen to him. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, there's all sorts of those little voices that would love to be heard, and then it's a matter of not giving them microphones, so to speak.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. So then when you set out with that background and you set out for the new season, set out to look for life coaches, mm-hmm. were you looking to kind of shine a spotlight on that industry, or were you looking to get legitimate help for yourself, or both?
Both, for sure. The life coach that I ended up going with, I shopped around a lot. Like, I talked to a bunch of people and I looked at a bunch of websites and I really thought hard about what I don't want in a life coach. And I ended up finding someone who I really like, and she was very action oriented. We did a really long intake when I first started with her, where we talked about just my lifestyle. I needed a lifestyle change. I needed to not be going to Taco Bell every day, and like, I needed to not feel like I wanted to sleep through the day, those sorts of things. What I did find in shopping for her is that she's kind of unusual, at least in LA, in terms of how a lot of the life coaches out here operate. Which I liked, you know. I really didn't want a lot of woo-woo. She's a little woo-woo, but I wanted to be able to take her seriously. And I have a lot more fun, like, poking at that kind of thinking. So I didn't want someone that was just going to, you know, talk to me about the moon. Although she does talk about the moon a lot for herself, but she wasn't making me do any, like, new moon fasting or anything like that. And yeah, but I did want to look at the whole industry, and she helped me see one side of it.
So the idea of a life coach has always intrigued me, in that there doesn't seem to be state certification or a Mm-mm. graduate school program. There's probably a graduate school program somewhere, come to think of it, but it's not a normal standardized thing.
No.
So how much of a industry is it, as opposed to just a bunch of people running around calling themselves life coaches?
Well, there are a couple of certifying organizations who don't license them. So they're not like keeping up with people. They're not mandated to keep up with people over the years, like other licensing, like real licensing boards. But there are certifications you can get through a couple of very large organizations, like the International Coaching Federation and a couple others. And those folks do try to keep track of, you know, how many life coaches are being certified and how much money is being made and all of that. So when you want to, you know, Google what is the life coaching industry in the U.S. worth, the numbers are coming from those organizations. But that's just a small fraction of the people who call themselves life coaches, as you're saying. So having reported on multi-level marketing, I'm used to the vagaries at this point, and to like they're not being a reliable source. on this sort of stuff. So I'm comfortable just saying, well, according to these places, there's 23,000 life coaches in the U.S. right now, but probably multiply that by 5 or 10, you know, to get to the real number. I call it an industry in the show because I think that life coaches, if you took a bunch of life coaches and put them in a room, they would all say that they have different areas of expertise. But the things they have in common are, you know, they take on clients, they have a system, they, you know, there's like a curriculum sort of for their clients. And then a lot of them also recruit people to become life coaches or have like a curriculum for training other life coaches.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of your series and a lot of the work that you've done is about multi-level marketing or network sales or whatever mm-hmm. the term for it is. There seems mm-hmm. to be a lot of terms. And this series
Pyramid
was
schemes.
A lot of, yeah, exactly. A lot of this series was about the connection between that world and life coaching. Why do those worlds intersect so much?
You know, funny, people ask me this all the time. And I feel like as I have been doing more and more research on it and thinking about it more, it's really a lot of what bolsters the multi-level marketing industry is not the products themselves, because if you accept the premise that I've come to accept that there is no money to be made in multi-level marketing. So you go in, you do your sign-up fee, you start selling Avon or whatever to your family and friends, and you soon realize you're not turning a profit. don't worry, because there are other products your MLM is selling in the form of trainings and mindset coaching and kind of all the things a life coach would have you do or a business coach. Mm. So it's already this like idea of coaching, this idea of changing your mindset, of changing your lifestyle, of there's a formula for how many, you know, posts you need to do a day, and here's what you need to eat and drink to have your energy to get out there and recruit people, that sort of thing is already totally baked into the MLM model. That's and then I think people who are ambitious enough to want to be successful in that arena then also see the money that can be made in coaching. Mm. And a lot of people do both at the same time, you know, like they may be failing. I mean, we talk about this in one of the episodes of this season where a lot of these life coaches that were getting laid off in tech jobs in Texas started going to these life coaching group meetings and then becoming life coaches, but they're just like unemployed people, becoming career coaches. It's similar to that. But I think that the whole you can make money no matter what, as long as you have the right attitude and the gumption is all there. It's the same product that is being sold in multi-level marketing and life coaching.
Are people who get into those worlds of multi-level marketing and subsequently self-declared life coaching and, you know, have a positive attitude and you can achieve anything, are those people suckers?
No.
Okay.
No, they might be really good listeners. I mean, we're all suckers. If they're suckers, we're all suckers, right? Because we live here in America and we've all bought the lie, right? Like,
wait, there's several lies. Which lie are you speaking?
You know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. There are so many lies. Like, I bust my ass every day. Will I ever be able to buy a house? Absolutely not. Never. I'll never be able to buy a house. And you can tell me I pay too much for rent, but I would have to live in a shittier rental for probably 10, 20 years to save up enough money to buy a house. So that's just not happening for me. And that's something that we've, you know, I'm 45, like that, it's just never going to happen. These kind of promises that were made to all of us about what our hard work will earn us.
Right.
I think what MLMs offer and what life coaches offer is like a shortcut. And the people telling the lie for the people at the top aren't necessarily complicit. Some of them are, but I think the folks at the very top of these kind of scammy organizations must know what they're doing. And I don't think that trickles down to everyone in the scheme. I think a lot of times the people beneath those people just say, oh, they're telling me I have the opportunity to be them. But it's just like saying, work hard enough and you can be the next Jeff Bezos. And there are people out there, there's been studies about this, there's people out there who hear that and go, yeah, of course. And then there's people like me. There's people like me that, well, I would have to have just a completely different moral compass, you know, and I can't. I'm not going to do that. But there's a lot of people that say, yeah, I could be the next Jeff Bezos, sure thing, or Elon Musk or whatever. And I don't think they're suckers. I don't think they're suckers for thinking that. I think they are ambitious and just different.
Yeah. Well, they're looking for an antidote to the great lies, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And they're being told that there is one by people who have a lot of money.
Okay. So is there a way to go, and let's look at life coaching. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to approach it in a sensible, pragmatic, not getting conned kind of way that you've discovered? Is there a path to having this work well for a person?
I think so. I mean, I think if you go into it, well, I'm just going to speak from my experience because,
there aren't
studies that I would rely on to tell me whether that's the case or not at this point. I'm sure there's plenty coming, but this is a newer area of study. So I'd say just anecdotally, if you go into it with a pretty clear sense of what you're hoping to get out of it, and you look for the person who you think will most likely help you get there, you can totally have success. But if you go with like the flashiest one, you may end up out of thousands of dollars. Or you, there were a lot of life coaches who had like spiritual practices that I just knew weren't going to be good for me because I'm just not that way in my daily life. And so I wanted to kind of stay away from something that would be personality altering. So I think success, this is going to sound so stupid, but I think it's what you make it, right? Like you have to have the intentions going in. I'm going to listen to this person and I'm not going to spend over X dollars and I'm going to stick to that. There's a lot of trust though. You have to trust that this person knows what they're talking about. So doing your research ahead of time is really important.
Coming up, more about Jane Marie and the life coach she found, who ended up being a depressed life coach. If you want to start a business and make your product or service available to everyone around the world, well, you can do that because internet and websites, I bet you've heard of websites. The internet is full of websites. How am I going to build a website, though, you think? I'm not a dang web designer. I'm not a dang web developer. I'm no dang webmaster. Well, good news, I'm here to tell you that you are a dang all those things. You can build a website, an e-commerce store, a web presence, and it's not that hard thanks to Squarespace. I did it, so therefore you can do it too. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. They have this new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, where you can choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay. You can upload video content, organize your video library, showcase your content on beautiful video pages. You can even add a paywall and sell access to your video library. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/depresh to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. You need to eat food. You know this. Sometimes, though, preparing a good, healthy meal is so much of a hassle. The time, the looking up recipes, the energy. And sometimes, you know, we just can't. And that's when Factor is such a great thing, such an important, well, factor. You can fuel up fast this fall with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. You can save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. Factor's fresh meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Choose from over 35 weekly delicious, fresh, never-frozen meals that promote a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences. I've been enjoying these meals lately for the flavor and for the convenience. I can heat it up, enjoy my food, which is important, you guys. You should enjoy your food. And then get back to making this program for you. Factor has fall flavors available right now. Seasonal veggies and meals like cranberry pecan chicken and apple Dijon pork chops. Head to factormeals.com/depresh50 and use code depresh50 to get 50% off. That's code depresh50 at factormeals.com/depresh50 to get 50% off.
It's the final week of Co-Optober. I'm Kira Gowan, Ad Operations Specialist, and I'm here with
Daniel Barwella, Technology and Data Specialist. To cap off National Co-op Month, we're sharing how worker-owned co-ops can benefit their communities. Read about it in our newsletter or on social media at MaxFunHQ.
We're also trying to do our part. We're volunteering at our local food bank this week, and we encourage you to volunteer in your area too.
On Friday, we're announcing the donation that you helped raise in the post-MaxFun Drive sticker sale, going to 5 food banks across the U.S.
And we want to make sure you know that this is your last chance to get our limited edition Co-op Launch Crew merch.
Grab a pin, hat, shirt, or hoodie before they disappear at the end of the month.
Details on merch, resources for volunteering, and all things Co-Optober can be found at MaximumFun.org/Co-Optober.
That's COOPTOBER. Thank you so much for your support and have a great Co-Optober.
Back with Jane Marie of the podcast The Dream. which is all about life coaches and the unique life coach that Jane found.
Like, I wanted someone who was just completely content and successful. And I found a like chronic depressive instead, who talks about that on the show. She's like, I'm a very high functioning depressive. I'm always depressed. And I was surprised by that, like that I heard that and stuck with her. It really was more of like, oh, we're kindred spirits. You understand what I'm actually going through.
Yeah. And well, and when she said that, you said kind of half under your breath, yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
So what did this do for your depression? Finding a life coach who was relatively bullshit free and who you vibed with.
I think that this is, I'm not even the 100th person to make this jokey observation, but you know how they say getting sleep and exercise and eating well actually makes you feel better?
It turns out, yeah.
God damn it. Like, it's true. Right. I hate doing it still every time. I'm somebody who, when I work out, I just want to go to sleep afterwards. Like, it does not give me endorphins that like make me feel any better. I hate it the whole time. I just want it to be over with. So the actual act of working out, like, my kid is into tennis right now, so I've been taking her to the courts a couple times a week and getting really sweaty, and I just want to sit down the whole time. I just want to, like, go into the shade and sit down. That's all I'm thinking about, and I'm trying
to,
like...
Oh, you have to hit with her? You have to play against
yeah.
her?
Well, oh, I know. No. I'm not rich, so I can't, you know... We're
sure.
tennis right. coaches are woo! And unfortunately, I know how to play tennis. So, yeah, I just, the whole time I'm trying to be like, yay, good job. And here, look, but what I'm really thinking is like, just five more minutes. And then you can sit down. And then you can sit down. And the air conditioning in the car will be so nice. And then we can go home and just relax and I can lay in bed. And then I can maybe fall asleep or maybe not. Usually not. So that never changed. But
right.
I have to admit that something changed, you know, like I feel better. Overall, it maybe was a compounding effect of 6 months of just doing it despite not wanting to do it. But my body feels better. I've lost like literally like 20 pounds, which feels better just moving around in my body because I put on a lot of weight during the pandemic. And so I'm kind of close to my starting weight and I don't really care to lose anymore. But, you know, it is depressing to not be able to wear any of your clothes. Like that can bum you out if you're already in a depressed space. So feeling better physically, getting better sleep is like huge. Waking up in the morning and feeling energized. I was, you know, I have like really good sleep hygiene in the evening that I, you know, I have a routine. These routines, I've always been resistant to them, but it turns out that they work to help you feel a little bit better.
No phone in the bed? Is that a rule?
No phone in the bed. No blue light like an hour before sleep. So
okay.
Get a real book and a real lamp if you need it. You know, read, take a bath, that kind of thing. Yeah,
okay.
Get settled and try to turn off your work if possible. I mean, I own a business and I work for myself and I am a single parent. So I think also I was suffering from like having no boundaries
in right.
my day. Yeah, and like prioritizing doing stuff. Like I went to the movies by myself the other day. It was awesome.
So was this advice from your coach to get on a sleep schedule, go see movies by yourself, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Do stuff that you enjoy just for you.
Now, devil's advocate, a lot of that stuff's is freely available information that one might not need a coach to get.
I'm sorry. Like, it is not freely available if I'm on TikTok all day. And my TikTok is like my algorithm, like my, the things
got
I
it
swipe
finely
on.
Tuned.
Yeah, they are. Not, it is not life coaches necessarily. It's not people coming in there and telling me how to live better. It's a lot of rapping and dancing and like garbage picking. I love the garbage picking.
Wait, what's garbage picking?
Like people who like go to dumpster dive and find, you know, like boxes full of Chanel bags and things like that. It's also I there's a lot of like live streaming of multi-level marketing. There's this whole thing in MLMs where there's like surprises, like surprise gifts that either stuffed in bath bombs or like oyster shucking MLMs where you find pearls and stuff. And they do live streams. I'm obsessed with those. Yeah. So if I'm in bed on TikTok all day or, you know, making podcasts, I'm not. Same difference. I'm kidding. I'm not necessarily thinking about how to improve my life. Yeah, I'm not really thinking. I know it's freely available, but if you've ever been depressed, it's not like you become stupid when you're depressed. It's not like you don't know what you should be doing.
Right.
You know, I think for me, it was a little bit like feeling obligated to somebody, like feeling like I paid the money. I have an appointment scheduled. And trust me, I canceled plenty. And I don't do that in any other part of my life. Like, I don't miss appointments and I'm on time for everything. But this, you know, this is tough for me. So I think that depressives would relate to this. It's not like you are an idiot when you're depressed. You know exactly what action steps.
You know what's healthy and what's not healthy.
Exactly. You know what to do. Which is the whole thing of depression is that you can't. That's the whole thing. So I was doubling up on the people saying, yes, you can, and here's how you're going to do it, you know? So I had my therapist and my life coach, but again, such a luxury.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I do, I will say, I don't have a partner, but I think going forward, if I ever got one and I was in a serious relationship, now that I know how much my life coach helped, I would get one of those immediately instead of bringing this stuff to my partner.
What stuff?
All of, like, being responsible for me getting my shit together. Being the person that reminds me of how the universe works. I don't want my partner to have to be like, Jane, you do have to get out of bed. Jane, you do have to eat food in the morning. You have to go to bed now. You know, like that sort of stuff. I have in the past brought it all to my partner, and I think it must be fucking exhausting.
So you've looked at a wide variety of life coaches, and some of them, if you listen to the dream, there's some corkers out there. And let's say aliens land on Earth, they're going to obliterate civilization unless Jane Marie becomes a professional life coach. So you need to do this.
Oh, I got certified.
Did you?
Yeah. I got certified. I don't talk about it on the show because it seemed too silly, like, after everything that happened.
This is like vampires, like every or zombies. Like, you know, you become one and then
I became one. Yeah.
There's a bite and then you become another one.
Well, I just wanted to see what the deal was and, like, how it was a lot more hard. Like, more. Okay. It was a lot more labor intensive than I expected. I did not think there would be as much homework. It was one of those programs where you can't move to the next assignment until you, like, watch a whole video, and you have to watch it all the way through, and then it ends, and then a window pops up with your homework, and then your homework is, like, either an essay, or I had to do, like, in-person test runs with people and stuff like that. It was, like, about 6 weeks. It only cost me $200. I don't know if I really learned very much, but it was fun. It was kind of like, I don't know. It was kind of like being into astrology or something. Like, I don't believe any of this, but it's funny. Like, I'm enjoying myself.
It's a lot of work to go through just for something to be funny. Like, what? Why?
I was amusing myself. I mean, it was an hour a day, maybe at most. You know,
yeah.
Some days were a couple hours of work, but I was curious. I was like, what are people learning here? And, like, how does it feel different from college or other certificate programs? Like, I've gone to bartending school like an idiot. Don't ever go to bartending school, people. There's no reason. Especially if you end up working, like, in a Chicago bar that only serves shots and beer.
Right.
But, yeah, it was like that, like a silly hobby for – it was like taking pottery lessons.
I always think a life coach should – be obligated to wear a sweatshirt and have a whistle and possibly hold a clipboard and have a baseball cap.
Some do. You can find that person.
I'm sure.
See, if that's the kind of life coach you need, then you could find that, I'm sure.
Yeah, or spend $200 and become that.
Yeah, you can be that guy.
Well, so then back to the original question, you become a life coach. What kind of life coach would you be? Like, what have you learned is most constructive and most positive and most genuinely helpful to people?
To people in general?
Yeah, to somebody who hires you. Like, what, you know, it's like, again, what kind of teacher would you be? What kind of parent would you be? What kind of life coach would you be?
I think I'd be pretty chill. I think, like, again, like, it's, I would want people to find me who like my vibe, you know, who can see themselves working with someone like me. One thing I really appreciated about my coach is when I hated some of the workouts, she's like, that's okay. You don't have to do this particular thing. You can just walk. Why don't you just go for a walk? Mm-hmm. And I was like, great. I love that we can bend the rules. I love that, like, you are not attached to me doing burpees or whatever, because I'm not going to do that every day. And I think I would be flexible like that, but I would be very cheerleady. I know that. I would be like, you got this. You're awesome. Like, I can definitely do that. And genuinely, like, I do feel.
You would believe that while you were doing it.
Yeah. Yes. I would feel very confident telling just about anybody that they're doing great. Okay. You're alive. You're nailing it.
So you've completed the season of your show, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Do you think staying with your life coach is going to be something that is an ongoing thing?
No, I can't afford it.
Oh.
But we are staying in touch, and we have a plan to check in every few months, and that I will pay for, but I really can't afford it. We were meeting twice a week. She's $85 a session for an hour of, it was personal training and talking and planning and looking at my calendar and talking about what I'm eating and that sort of stuff. It was a lot of wellness stuff. But then, you know, catching up personally. So we spent a couple hours a week together, and I just can't. That's way more money than I have.
How did you find her?
Yelp.
Just Yelp. Yelp for life coaches.
I started with Google and like looking for a life coach on Google. And then it was so overwhelming because I'm in LA that after a bit, I needed to find something that would like at least narrow things in some way, like, you know, some sort of ranking or whatever. And I went on Yelp and just searched the whole county, essentially. Hmm. Plus, it was, you know, I was not thinking that at first I thought, oh, I could do remote. And then I had to get real with myself and be like, actually, no, I need someone to knock on my door. I need someone to like ring the doorbell and be in my face.
Yeah. Would you recommend Yelp as a good way for other people to find a life coach?
It worked for me. I mean, yeah, they're all so different. Like the recommending or saying this is the thing that works or this is the thing. It's like, because it's, and I think the same thing about therapists. Like, I think there's a million different types of therapists, and you just have to be open to like walking away from one if it's not working.
Yeah.
Or just saying, that's not really my flavor. I got to move on. You know, and that's fine. So it's kind of the same thing, except there's, you know, no board you can check out and say, are they on the up and up? You just have to use your intuition or read the Yelp reviews.
right.
Absent a licensing organization or, you know, a board certification, like Yelp reviews are helpful.
Yeah. So not everybody is living in, I don't want to phrase it like that about LA. I don't want to rip on LA.
Why not? This place is ridiculous. It's a cartoon town on purpose.
Now, I imagine in a place like LA or New York, there's a life coach around every corner, but not everybody lives in those places. A lot of people live in some remote areas, but still want access to some of these things. Are there life coaches available who work in a remote style that you think are are effective and worth the time and money?
I definitely do. And I think in that, in the Zoom world where we can do group meetings via Zoom or, you know, a monthly check-in, they can be very affordable, sometimes more affordable than therapy. And I don't think it's a bad option to look for a coach who offers remote services. Often a lot of the stuff that I was being taught was about nutrition or, you know, a lot of health things that can be shared digitally. And I didn't really need someone in my house to help me with that. I think also I want to note that one really, really nice thing about life coaching, which is nice and also unfortunate, is that it doesn't have the same stigma as therapy and psychiatry do. So if that's something that your friends or family would have a problem with, or, you know, if you aren't there yet and ready to talk to a therapist or a psychiatrist, it's a good entry point. Because I think that personality-wise, a lot of life coaches are just therapists without the student debt.
And the box of Kleenex in a shared office.
There you go. The Palo Santo bowl or whatever. Right. That's what my therapist has.
The fern in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
The show is The Dream. The host and creator and executive producer of it is Jane Marie. Jane, thank you so much.
My pleasure. You're welcome.
Season 3 of The Dream is available now where you get your podcasts. Laura House just ahead with a meditation moment.
People say not to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree.
Which is why here on Just the Zoo of Us, we judge them by so much more.
We rate animals out of 10 in the categories of effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics, taking into consideration each animal's true strengths, like a pigeon's ability to tell a Monet from a Picasso or a polar bear's ability to play basketball.
Guest experts like biologists, ecologists, and more join us to share their unique insight into the animal's world.
Listen with friends and family of all ages on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
And it's time for a meditation moment with our friend Laura House, the co-host of the Tiny Victories podcast. Hello, Laura.
Hi, John.
Let's achieve some inner peace, if only just for a moment, shall we?
Yeah, let's just let go. I remember again and again when I meditate, even though I do it all the time, I'm still fascinated by like, oh, it actually feels better. And I normally talk about we just notice the breath, but I saw something the other day that we can try if you want. Is
sure.
There's several things you can focus on when you meditate. You just give your mind a little job and notice what's going on in your body. But we can try a color.
Oh.
You can think nice. Of your favorite version of blue or green or whatever your color is. And so let's try it. You just
okay.
Close your eyes. And now in your mind, just sort of in your head, see your favorite color. Maybe you're holding something that's color or you're surrounded by that color. Or just in front of you as if it's on a screen. And just let go. Just sort of sit there in your color. And you might start noticing your body relax. You might notice your breath slowing down. And you're going to have thoughts. And as they come up, just keep putting attention on this color. And you can go ahead and open your eyes, gently come out of it. How is that for you?
Deep forest green.
Oh, that's a good color.
It was lovely. I did feel like once I kind of got it locked in, I felt my shoulders drop a little bit and I felt you know, became aware of my breath in a nice way. It was wonderful.
Oh, that's nice. I kind of liked it too. I was just sitting in blue, and then it's like we struggle to come out. Our thoughts are always going to kind of attack meditation the first few moments. I don't have time for this. This is stupid. What are you doing? I have a lot of appointments. And then it's like, I was just hanging out in blue, and I was like, this isn't so bad. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Well, thank you for our journey to colors.
A new little trick.
Laura House can be found at laurahouse.com and on the Tiny Victories podcast here on Maximum Fun. Laura, thanks.
Thanks, John.
Next time on Depression Mode, Pooja had gone to the best schools, got married, was in her residency to become a doctor, but something felt wrong. Well, everything felt wrong.
So I was really angry, and I kind of just burned it all down. I blew up my marriage. I moved into this wellness commune in San Francisco that was focused on meditation and spirituality and female sexuality. I dropped out of my residency program, and I spent 2 years with this group kind of really going deep into alternative medicine and everything woo-woo that you could really think of.
Then she got fed up with the wellness commune and returned to her residency. She's collected a lot of wisdom on her way, and Dr. Pooja Lakshman joins us. If people donate to our show, we can keep making Depression Mode. If they stop, then we can't. We think this show is providing something for the world. We hope you feel the same way. We hope you've already donated, and if you have, thank you. If you haven't done it yet, we really need to hear from you. And it's easy to do. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join. MaximumFun.org/join. You find a level that works for you. You select Depression Mode from the list of shows, and then you're on your way. Be sure to check out our merchandise store. The holidays are soon arriving. That's at MaxFunStore.com. We have all sorts of Depression Mode merchandise there. We have I'm Glad You're Here mugs and shirts. We have Depression Mode sweatpants. We even have blankets. So check that out, MaxFunStore.com. Be sure to hit subscribe, give us 5 stars, write rave reviews. That helps get the show out into the world where it can help folks. The Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7 for free in the United States by calling 988. The Crisis Text Line, also free and always available. Text HOME to 741741. Our Instagram and Twitter are at DepreshPod. If you're on Facebook, look up our mental health discussion group, Preshies. Our Depression Mode newsletter is on Substack. Search that up. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at John Moe. I spell it with an H. Please use our electric mail address, DepreshMode@MaximumFun.org. Hi, credits listeners. My poor dog Sally needs to temporarily wear a cone around her head due to a thing with her foot. She's fine. It's sad, though, when she's feeling playful and tries to pick up a tennis ball and just can't get to it. That's when I take the cone off her, just for a few minutes. Good girl, Sally. Depression Mode is made possible by your contributions. Our production team includes Gabe Mara, Laura Swisher, and Kevin Ferguson. We get booking help from Mara Davis. Rhett Miller wrote and performed our theme song, Building Wings.
I'm always falling off of cliffs now, building wings on the way down. I am figuring things out, building wings, building wings, building wings. No one knows the reason, maybe there's no reason, I just keep believing. No one knows the answer, maybe there's no answer, I just keep on dancing.
Hi, this is Stacy from Murray, Utah, and both my cats think you're pretty darn cool.
Depression Mode is a production of Maximum Fun and Papa Chick. I'm John Moe. Bye now.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly
by you.